Welcome to FEMA Law Talk, a podcast series produced by the FEMA Office of Chief Counsel. The purpose of this podcast series is to increase FEMA's ability to learn and innovate as an organization through promoting a better understanding of the legal authorities that support FEMA's efforts to reduce loss of life and property and protect the nation from all hazards. Now here's your host, Mark Brooks.
Hello, welcome back to FEMA's Law Talk podcast series. My name is Mark Brooks, and I'm here with the Chief Counsel for FEMA, Brad Kaiserman. During this podcast, we are going to provide you with an introduction to the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, commonly referred to as the Stafford Act. After listening to this podcast, you should be able to recognize important provisions of the Stafford Act and understand FEMA's primary legal authority for providing disaster assistance. I always hear people refer to the Stafford Act, but I'm not really sure what the Act says or how to find it. Maybe you can start by providing some general background information on the Stafford Act, Brad.
Well, thanks, Mark, and I will do that. The Robert T. Stafford Disaster Relief and Emergency Assistance Act, which we usually just call the Stafford Act, is a federal statute that was signed into law in 1988. So the Stafford Act is based on two guiding principles. First, federal assistance supplements state and local relief and recovery efforts. And second, except in very unique circumstances involving exclusive or preeminent federal jurisdiction, Stafford Act assistance is triggered only by a governor's request for assistance and then a presidential declaration.
So Stafford is there to supplement, not supplant, the state, and the state usually has to ask for assistance before the president can provide it, right?
That's exactly right, Mark. Those principles, which form the core of the Stafford Act, flow from the ordinary constitutional scheme in our federal system, which divides sovereignty between the federal and state governments. So the 10th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution provides the federal government may govern only through the powers enumerated in the Constitution. The Constitution reserves all other powers to the states or to the people. So as a result, the states have the police powers to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their citizens, and these police powers provide the states with the foremost and dominant authorities to respond to emergencies and disasters. In other words, the federal government is in support, not in the lead, for most Stafford Act major disasters and emergencies.
So that's why Sections 401 and 501 of the Stafford Act provide that the governor of an affected state can request that the president declare either a major disaster or an emergency only when the disaster is of such severity and magnitude that effective response is beyond the capabilities of the state and the affected local governments and that federal assistance is necessary.
Well, that's exactly right, Mark. That's a quote directly from 42 U.S. Code, Sections 5170 and 5191.
In other words, governors have to ask the president for Stafford Act declarations in most cases. What kind of declarations are there?
Well, Mark, the Stafford Act authorizes the president to make three general types of declarations or commitments: major disaster declarations, emergency declarations, and fire management assistance grants, each of which enables FEMA and other federal agencies to provide assistance to state and local governments overwhelmed by certain incidents or events.
What actually happens when the president makes one of those declarations?
Well, Mark, each of those declarations essentially turns on, like a switch, some combination of federal assistance programs provided for in the Stafford Act and its implementing regulations. Turning on those programs can result in the distribution of a wide range of federal aid to individuals and families, certain nonprofit organizations, and public agencies. The Stafford Act and its implementing regulations in Title 44 of the Code of Federal Regulations describes the universe of eligible applicants, and these can be states, tribal or local governments, owners of certain private nonprofit facilities, individuals or families, depending on the particular program.
And once the president makes one of those declarations, are all the eligible entities affected by the incident entitled to all available federal assistance?
Well, the president specifies in each declaration the type of incident covered, the time period covered, the types of disaster assistance available, the units of local government, generally counties, parishes, and independent cities, that are included in the declaration, and the name of the federal coordinating officer, that's the FCO, that's the FEMA official who coordinates federal assistance and initiates action immediately to assure that federal assistance is provided in accordance with the declaration, applicable laws, regulations, and a document called the FEMA State Agreement. So as the effects of the incident subside over time, The initial declaration may be amended to modify the types of assistance to be provided and to add areas, generally counties, that would become eligible for assistance. So it's important to remember the Stafford Act provides for discretionary assistance. It's not an entitlement program like Social Security or Medicare. FEMA typically provides aid only to those persons persons or entities that we determine need the assistance. For example, FEMA might not consider a family with adequate insurance and alternative housing options eligible to receive financial aid. Likewise, a county or a city that suffers only modest damages to some facilities might not receive funds to rebuild infrastructure if the extent of those damages don't meet the standards for federal assistance established by FEMA's regulations and policies.
Brad, you first said that the president makes declarations, and then you said that FEMA provides assistance. How do we get from the president declaring to FEMA actually doing?
That's a great question, Mark. So FEMA administers most but not all of the authority that the Stafford Act vests in the president. That's because the president delegated most of his Stafford Act authority to the Secretary of Homeland Security through Executive Order 13286. And the secretary then delegated all of her Stafford Act authority to the FEMA administrator in Department of Homeland Security Delegation number 9001.1. So in addition to these delegated authorities, the Homeland Security Act, as amended by the Post-Katrina Emergency Management Reform Act of 2006, or PCMRA, authorizes the administrator to provide federal leadership before and after catastrophes, including, and I'm quoting here, assisting the president in carrying out the functions of the Stafford Act.
Now, how does FEMA fund all of the Stafford Act assistance, Brad?
Yeah, that is the central question, Mark, and the answer is not FEMA's operating budget. Instead, Congress appropriates money to a special account called the Disaster Relief Fund, or the DRF, for disaster assistance authorized by the Stafford Act. Now, unlike most federal appropriations, which are available for one fiscal year, funds appropriated to the DRF are what we call no-year money. That means the funds remain available until expended. That's really important because the disaster recovery process sometimes takes years. So we need an account and funds that can be used across fiscal years to support recovery. It's also important because the DRF pays for FEMA's phone centers, its finance centers, housing inspectors, so that all these response and recovery elements are ready and in place when the president issues a declaration. Now, in most cases, assistance provided through funds drawn from the DRF cannot duplicate assistance provided by other means. Also, Congress appropriates disaster funds to other accounts administered by other federal agencies pursuant to other federal statutes, and those authorize specific types of disaster relief that FEMA does not provide.
Fascinating. So, Brad, let's drill down on the Stafford Act. Where do we find it, and how is it organized?
Well, first, anyone can find and read the Stafford Act, and if you're involved in emergency management, I strongly recommend that you do. You do that by going to FEMA's public website or by looking at Title 42 of the United States Code, starting at Section 5121. Now, the Stafford Act contains seven titles with 81 separate provisions or sections. Title 1 contains congressional findings, make some declarations, and provide some very important definitions. Title 2 addresses issues of preparedness and mitigation. Title 3 contains a number of important administrative provisions. Titles 4 and 5 contain the real, what I call, meat of the Stafford Act. These titles identify the types of assistance that FEMA and other federal agencies may provide, and in some circumstances, the limitations on that aid. Now, Title 4 describes the aid available in major disasters and for fire management, while Title 5 describes the aid available in an emergency. Title 6 contains what used to be the Civil Defense Act of 1950 and provides several important legal authorities for preparedness. And finally, Title 7 contains several miscellaneous provisions. They're important, though. They include broad gift acceptance authority and the authority to issue rules and regulations implementing the Stafford Act. That's, from Title 7, how we get to many of FEMA's rules in Title 44 of the Code of Federal Regulations, or 44 CFR.
It's a lot of material. Brad, yep. Can you quickly, though, walk us through some of the federal disaster assistance programs authorized by the Stafford Act?
Sure, Mark. So there are three primary disaster assistance programs. First, There's individual assistance, or IA, and that includes disaster housing for displaced individuals, financial assistance grants for needs that are not covered by insurance, crisis counseling, and disaster-related unemployment assistance. For example, individual assistance can include housing assistance, such as lodging expenses, and reimbursement for your lodging expenses, rental assistance, and home repair or replacement grants. Individual assistance can also include what we call ONA, or other needs assistance, and that's for things like medical, dental, and funeral costs arising from a disaster.
What's the second program?
So the first is IA, the second is PA, or public assistance. Public assistance helps communities absorb the costs of emergency measures such as removing debris and repairing or replacing structures such as public buildings, roads, bridges, and utilities. Public assistance is available to assist states, tribal and local governments, and certain private nonprofits. For administrative purposes, FEMA's public assistance guide breaks PA into categories with letter designations, including debris removal, which we call Category A, emergency protective measures, which we call Category B, and permanent work, such as like the repairing of roads and bridges, water control facilities, buildings and equipment, utilities, and parks and recreational facilities, all of which we call Categories C through G. And by the way, public assistance is FEMA's largest funded disaster program.
Then what is the third program, Brad?
So after individual assistance and public assistance, the third program, Mark, is hazard mitigation, which is when FEMA funds mitigation measures to prevent or lessen the effects of future disasters through the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program we call HMGP by its acronym. So elevating homes and buying out properties in the floodplain are two really good examples of HMGP. Also, on a smaller scale, FEMA might provide funding to a homeowner to relocate their utilities to a higher level in their home where it's less likely to receive flooding.
Brad, I've heard about something called direct federal assistance. Is that a program?
So DFA, or direct federal assistance, Mark, is not its own program. Instead, it's a method of delivering certain types of public assistance, or PA. So when the state and local government lack the capability to perform or contract for eligible emergency work or debris removal, in other words, when they just can't do the work themselves or get someone to do it, they may request that FEMA assign a federal agency to accomplish that work. So you may have heard the term mission assignment associated with direct federal assistance.
I have heard the term, but Brad, what is a mission assignment?
So, Mark, a mission assignment is a work order. It's issued by FEMA to another federal agency and directs completion of a specific task. So the authority derives from the Stafford Act, which gives the president the authority that, remember, FEMA exercises on his behalf through a delegation to, and I'm quoting here from the Stafford Act, direct any federal agency with or without reimbursement to utilize its authorities and the resources granted to it under federal law, including personnel, equipment, supplies, facilities, and managerial, technical, and advisory services in support of state and local assistance response and recovery efforts, including precautionary evacuations. So that's the end of the quote. We'll talk more about mission assignments in a future Law Talk podcast.
Great. Brad, can you summarize the main differences between a major disaster and an emergency?
Yeah, Mark. The definition of those terms, which are found in Title II of the Stafford Act, are very important because they establish eligibility for federal assistance in the first place and the conditions necessary for the president to act. The Stafford Act definition of major disaster is relatively restrictive. The Stafford Act defines a major disaster as, and I'm quoting again, any natural catastrophe or, regardless of cause, any fire, flood, or explosion in any part of the United States, which in the determination of the president causes damage of sufficient severity and magnitude to warrant major disaster assistance to supplement the efforts and available resources of states, local governments, and disaster relief organizations in alleviating the damage, loss, hardship, or suffering caused thereby. So let's compare that for a minute to the definition of emergency, which is, I think, broader and authorizes the president to declare an emergency for, and I'm quote here, any occasion or instance for which federal assistance is needed to supplement state and local efforts and capabilities to save lives, to protect property and public health and safety, or to lessen or avert the threat of a catastrophe in any part of the United States. So keep in mind, Section 420 of the Stafford Act also authorizes the president to provide fire management assistance to prevent a forest or grassland fire from becoming a major disaster.
I think that I understand the difference now. A major disaster is a natural catastrophe or any fire, flood, or explosion, regardless of cause, while an emergency is any instance where the president determines that there is a need to supplement state and local efforts to protect property, public health, or even just to lessen or avert the threat of a catastrophe.
Now, you got it, Mark. That's exactly right. Just remember, for the president to declare a major disaster, there must be a qualifying event that causes actual damage. In contrast, the president can declare an emergency before any damage occurs. So we often do that in the context of hurricanes before they reach landfall to help states and localities cover the costs of preparedness and evacuation.
So now that I understand the difference in the definitions, you said earlier there was a difference in the amount and type of federal disaster assistance that FEMA can provide. That's depending on whether the president declares a major disaster or an emergency. Can you summarize those differences for us?
Sure, Mark. So for a major disaster, all of the assistance under the Stafford Act, to include all individual assistance, all categories of public assistance and hazard mitigation, all of those may be available if the president authorizes it in his declaration. For an emergency declaration, federal assistance is limited to immediate and short-term assistance essential to save lives, to protect property and public health and safety, or to lessen or avert the threat of a catastrophe. Now, the total assistance for a single emergency, as compared to a major disaster, cannot exceed $5 million unless the FEMA administrator determines, one, continued emergency relief is immediately required, two, there's a continuing and immediate risk to lives, property, public health, or safety, and three, necessary assistance will not otherwise be provided on a timely basis. So whenever that $5 million threshold is exceeded, the FEMA administrator must also report to Congress on the nature and extent of emergency assistance requirements. We call that the soft cap.
Brad, I thought the intent of the Stafford Act was to provide supplemental assistance to the state and local governments. Are there limits on what the federal government can pay for?
Ah, Mark, you've raised the issue of cost share. So the Stafford Act stipulates that the minimum federal assistance, minimum, for certain eligible activities, and I'm quoting, shall be not less than 75% of the eligible cost of such assistance. So other provisions specify ceilings rather than floors for federal aid. Housing assistance, for example, is 100% federally funded with no state or local cost share. Now, all federal assistance programs are limited either to a fixed dollar amount or to a percentage of eligible costs. So, before FEMA provides federal assistance under the Stafford Act authority, it finalizes a grant agreement with the state. I mentioned this earlier. We call that the FEMA State Agreement. And that sets forth the terms under which FEMA will obligate and distribute disaster assistance funding to the state for redistribution to eligible applicants like local governments.
Interesting. The federal share for disaster assistance is at least 75% of eligible costs, and it comes from the Disaster Relief Fund, or DRF. Do the state and local governments have to pay for the remaining costs?
Yes, Mark, they do. As part of the governor's request for a major disaster declaration, the governor must certify that state and local government obligations and expenditures for the disaster will comply with all applicable cost-sharing requirements of the Stafford Act. The governor's request for a major disaster declaration, must also include, one, confirmation that the state emergency plan was executed, two, an estimate of the amount and severity of damages and losses stating the impact of the disaster on the public and private sector, three, information describing the nature and amount of state and local resources that have been or will be committed to alleviate the results of the disaster, and four, preliminary estimates of the types and amount of supplementary federal disaster assistance needed under the Stafford Act.
Now, what happens if a governor does not make a request for a major disaster or emergency declaration? Can the president just declare a major disaster or emergency unilaterally?
So I get asked that question a lot, Mark, and it's a great question. As I mentioned at the beginning of our podcast, the Stafford Act does provide for limited circumstances when the president can declare an emergency unilaterally without a governor's request. So the president may declare an emergency when he determines, and I'm quoting here, that an emergency exists for which the primary responsibility for response rests with the United States because the emergency involves a subject area for which, under the Constitution or laws of the United States exercises exclusive or preeminent responsibility and authority. That ends the quote. So in making that determination about whether there's an exclusive or preeminent responsibility and authority of the federal government, the president shall, if practicable, consult with the affected state's governor. So this provision has been invoked three times in the history of the Stafford Act. In April 1995, in response to the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. In 2001, in response to the 9/11 attack on the Pentagon. And for the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster in 2003. So all of these incidents, there was an explosion, so it was a qualified emergency, and it involved a federal building or property, and that's what made it the exclusive or preeminent responsibility and authority of the federal government, was the federal property nexus.
Brad, you've also mentioned fire management assistance grants several times. What's that all about?
Thanks for reminding me about those, Mark. Section 420 of the Stafford Act authorizes the president to provide fire management assistance in the form of grants, equipment, personnel, and supplies to supplement the resources of communities when fires on public property or on private forests or grasslands threaten destruction that might warrant a major disaster declaration. FEMA calls these Fire Management Assistance Grants, or FMAGs. So the President and the Secretary of Homeland Security have delegated all FMAG authority, including the FMAG declaration authority, to the FEMA Administrator, and the FEMA Administrator has delegated that authority to the FEMA Regional Administrators. So an FMAG requires that a gubernatorial request be submitted while an uncontrolled fire is burning. To be approved, states must demonstrate that either of two cost thresholds established by FEMA through regulations have been reached. And the thresholds involve calculations of the cost of an individual fire or those associated with all of the fires declared and non-declared in a state each calendar year.
And Brad, it seems like there is so much to learn about the Stafford Act.
Mark, you're absolutely right, there is. We're really only scratching the surface in this podcast. There are other areas of the Stafford Act that we haven't even mentioned yet, like preparedness and mitigation, but we'll cover all of those in future podcasts.
Brad, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That wraps up this installment of the FEMA Law Talk podcast series. Today, Brad provided a general overview of the Stafford Act. We hope that you enjoyed learning about the role of federal disaster assistance, the differences between a major disaster and an emergency, and the various types of assistance available under the Stafford Act.
This has been a production of FEMA's Office of Chief Counsel in conjunction with the Office of External Affairs. If you have any questions or would like more information, please contact the podcast series program manager at FEMA-OCC-podcast@FEMA.gov. Thank you, and have a great day.